you have me this morning. Our series for December is called Back to the Future. Amen. And so that will become a little bit more clear as we go through the message. Amen. And I want to pray again. Father, I just thank you for what you've given me to share with your people this morning, oh God. And Father, I pray that Lord God, that this will become as clear to them as it is to me as you gave it to me, Father. And I just thank you for it. Lord God, we give you all the praise, honor, and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This is not going to be very long, but I pray that it will be powerful to you as it was to me as God was giving it to me. And again, this is the month of December. Amen. And as we celebrate in one of the most beloved months of the year, amen, as we recognize and celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen, into the earth as a natural man. He was not only 100% man, but as he was born, he was also 100% God. Amen? He's the second in the Trinity. Of course, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. So with that, we're gonna stroll back. Amen. To the future, you will see. You see that our future was established in the very beginning. Amen. In the beginning of time, and you see, God has always been, and He always will be, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. Amen. He's the first and the last. He's forever and a day. He's always been there. And I realize that what I'm sharing this morning, I'm preaching to the choir, because I understand that you guys read your Bible, and I understand that you have heard this. But many times we hear sermons and we hear words coming forth that we've heard before. But a lot of times God will give you a new spin on it. You can hear it 100 different times, and God will give it to you 100 different revelations on that word. Amen. Amen. Like I said, God has always been. He was forever. And I realize that some people may not understand as we understand the whole Christmas story thing. And yes, we know the Christmas story about little baby Jesus, who was born in a manger because there was no room in the inn. Amen. It's a true story. It's a very true story. But that was not his beginning. Amen. And it's important that we understand and know that God, Jesus, was the living word. He is the living word. He was wrapped in flesh and born to a virgin, Mary. Amen. And he came to save the whole world. Not only does Jesus transcend human birth, but he also transcends time, space, and everything that exists, because he has forever been in existence. Amen? So John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5, we're going to start right there in our scripture. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in darkness, and darkness could not overcome it. Darkness did not know what to do with it. When Jesus said, let there be light, darkness just had to go. Amen? It had to flee. Amen. And again, it's important that we understand that he didn't just come into existence about 2,000 years ago when he was born to Mary, but he was in the earth He came to the earth. He was born into the earth to fulfill a great purpose and a great promise. And that was to restore what Satan had tried to rob from us and steal from God in the very beginning. But Jesus came to restore. He came to redeem. He came to heal us. Amen. He did that. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. That's why we celebrate this month. And so let us take a look and see what our future. We're going to look back to the future. And as I shared that with you, Jesus, he's not only our future. He's not only the one that we look forward to when we leave this place. Hallelujah. But he was the beginning. He is the current, and he is our future. Amen. Amen. So let's read Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. And it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Remember that part right there. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good. He separated the light from the darkness. God called that light day, and darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was a morning, the first day. From the very beginning, Jesus, our future, was on the scene. Just as it was confirmed in John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. He has forever been with God long, long before he even created our existence. And did you notice in the second verse that the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the waters? Now, who is the Spirit of God? Who is the Spirit of God? The Holy Spirit, right? Amen. So remember I said from the very beginning, Jesus has always been. The Holy Spirit has always been. God has always existed. He's always existed. The Holy Ghost, and I can see in my mind as God spoke, the Holy Spirit, our comforter, who Jesus sent to us as our comforter, was hovering over the waters of the deep, of the earth, and was putting into action the words that God spoke. Amen. Hovering over the waters. You know, the earth is two-thirds water. Amen. So the Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters of the earth. And as God was creating the earth, as he was creating all of existence, the Holy Spirit was hovering, and it was the Holy Spirit was acting on every word that God spoke. When God said, let there be light, the Holy Spirit was in action. He created, boom, there's the sun. We have light. Everything that God spoke, Jesus was there. The Holy Spirit was there. So he didn't just come in our Christmas story. He's always been. He always will be. Forever, forever, and a day. Amen. He was there. He was there. Now let me get back to my place here. I'm getting a little carried away. But as the Holy Spirit was hovering over the water, he was acting on the Word of God. And now let me put a little sidebar in here. The Word of God will forever stand. It has always stood. Amen. And when God, how many of you know when God spoke, he said, let there be light. And everything that God was speaking that came into his existence, I believe that, boom, you know, it was there. Because there is no doubt. When God speaks a word, there's no doubt in God. When he speaks a word, it's going to be. Amen. And Jesus and the Holy Spirit was there with God, orchestrating. Amen. Orchestrating and creating as God spoke. Amen. And let me give you this. As we speak the word of God, the Holy Spirit, where's the Holy Spirit now? It's in the earth, right? It's in the earth. It's right here with us. And just as the Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters to act on the word of God, then he is here now to act on the word of God when we speak it. Amen. The only issue is that we as human beings, now we are fallible creatures. We're not perfect, but we strive for that perfection. And when we speak the word of God, we've got to speak it without any doubt. When we speak it without any doubt, any hesitation, I believe that the Holy Spirit, our comforter, Jesus said that he's our comforter. I believe that the Holy Spirit acts on the word of God. That's why it is important to know what God says. Know what the word of God says. The living word who came to us, he is still living. He is still active. He's still alive. And when we speak the word of God, I believe that the Holy Spirit is there. And God dispensed angels and the Holy Spirit to act when we speak the word of God, just like in the creation from the beginning of time. Amen. So it's so important that we understand and know that God has given us his word. Amen. And we as Christians, it's important that we know how to use God's word. And that is speaking the word of God over every situation without any doubt. And I believe that when we do that, that the Holy Spirit and angels go into action. Amen. To make sure that the word of God is spoken, is doing what it said it does. The Bible says that God watches over his word to perform it. Amen. God's word is to be performed just like it was in the beginning. Amen. So let us look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, the cattle, and all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Here in the very first chapter of the Bible, Jesus and the Holy Spirit is introduced. So, again, Jesus was not introduced when he was born to Mary. And a lot of people who may not understand like we understand, you know, here in Christmas time, oh, baby Jesus. You know, yes, he was baby Jesus, and that was for a purpose. But he was far much more than that, and he existed far greater than that. And God introduced them right here. He said, let us. He was speaking of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit said, let us create man in our image. Amen. And as we read this, he says, let us make man. And before the worlds were framed, and before the galaxies existed, Jesus was there. And all throughout the Old Testament, he was right there with the Father, in perfect harmony with him as things were happening. You know, I don't believe that everything that happened can be captured in the Bible, but I believe God gave us the most important things that he needed us to know and to understand. But those, everything that happened, Jesus and the Holy Spirit was right there in step with the Father. And I believe that Jesus was there in Egypt, when God told Pharaoh to let my people go, I believe that Jesus was right there. Even though the Bible doesn't speak of him specifically, based on what we've read, here right now, you know, it says that nothing was made without God, without Jesus, the living word. Nothing was made without him. Amen. And nothing was done without him. So right there in Egypt, when God was telling Pharaoh to let my people go, you know, Pharaoh resisted. You know, he didn't want to let them go. But I believe that Jesus said, oh, you don't want to do what God says do? Try these frogs right here. Try these frogs. See how you like that. You're going to do what God says do. He didn't want to do it, and he resisted. And I believe that Jesus and the Holy Spirit orchestrated those locusts. Look, you don't want to do what God said? Okay, try this right here. Let's see if this will change your mind. Amen. They were right there together, working hand in hand. So he didn't just come on the scene right now. He's always been. He's always been right there with the Father. Amen. Amen. And I believe that every battle that the children of Israel had, even as they were crossing the Red Sea, I believe that Jesus was ushering them through the Red Sea on dry land. I believe that Jesus was leading the way. Amen. As they crossed. Amen. And I believe that everything that happened there, Jesus was a part of it. Amen. Amen. Even in those battles where the children of Israel, there were a lot of the armies of other countries and other nations that were afraid of them because they saw the hand of God at work. They were afraid, and when those people tried to come against the children of Israel, I believe that Jesus was right there to scramble their minds and to scramble their eyes. They couldn't even figure out what was going on. They were so confused that they started fighting each other and killing each other, and the children of Israel was just standing back watching God at work. Amen. Watching Jesus perform right there, but even before he was born into the earth. Amen. And as we look forward into chapter 3, we see where Adam and Eve disobeyed God sadly. They listened to the enemy and listened to the devil and caused their descendants to have to make blood sacrifices from goats and bulls and all those things to make atonement for their sin. And it was Adam and Eve, it was ultimately their fault, but it was not only their fault. The enemy, the devil was at fault too. And this is where God told the serpent in Genesis 3:14-15. It says, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly. He was speaking to the serpent. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between you and your offspring and her offspring. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. So essentially what this is saying right here, what God was saying to Satan for what he did in the Garden of Eden, he said, Eve's offspring is going to crush your head and you're going to strike his heel. So what he was saying was, I don't know how many of you have ever killed a snake, but when you kill a snake, you can't start at its tail. You chop its tail off, he'll take off and keep going. But you hit, those of you who have killed a snake, what do you go for first? The head. And what God was telling Satan is that Eve's offspring is going to crush your head and you will strike his heel. In other words, Jesus is going to destroy you, but he's going to suffer for it initially. But eventually, you're going to be destroyed. Amen. God made a promise to us right there in the Garden of Eden. He made a promise to us in the very beginning to redeem us. And he kept his promise by sending his son Jesus into the earth. And this is the reason we celebrate Christmas. It's because of Jesus that we celebrate. And it's the most happiest time of the year because God made a promise and he kept that promise to us. Amen. He kept that promise. Amen. And one of my favorite Christmas songs of all is Mary, Did You Know? I don't do very well singing that song, so I ain't gonna try to sing it. I'm just gonna read you the lyrics, because when God made that promise all through generation after generations, you know, they passed, but God kept his promise, and that's when he sent his son Jesus into the earth. And I believe that the angels of the Lord came to Mary and told her that she was going to be impregnated by the Holy Spirit. I don't believe that God gave her all the details. I believe that Mary trusted God, trusted what he was saying and what he told her. And so she just relaxed. I'm getting ready to give birth to the Son of God. And I just want to give a little bit of, well, I want to kind of give you the words to all this song, because it's very good. And I don't know how many of you, I know we've all heard it, but have you really paid attention to the words of it? And it says, Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make us new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storms with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Amen. Mary, did you know that the blind will see because of Jesus? Did you know that the deaf will hear because of Jesus? Did you know that the dead will live again because of Jesus? The lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Just what we read, the Lord of all creation. Did you know that your baby boy would someday rule over every nation? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? And the sleeping child that you're holding is the great I am. Man, that to me, that is just so powerful, because it helps me to understand and realize that, like I said, that Jesus did not just come on the scene over 2,000 years ago when he was born to Mary. He didn't just come on the scene, but he's always been there. Always been there. And for those in the Bible days who were sold out to God, who trusted God, Jesus was right there with them, delivering them. But the difference is then, and the difference now, is that Jesus delivered, he was right there delivering folks who were sold out to God. But what the difference is now, that when he was born, God sent him to save the whole world. The Bible says, even yet when we were sinners, Jesus came and died for us. Even before we made a decision to live for God, Jesus came, he died for us. Even if we choose not to make a decision to live for him, he died for us. He died for us. And I pray that everybody that understands and knows who Jesus is will receive him and accept him as Lord and as their Savior. Amen. And and I told you this wouldn't be very long, but I want to wrap this up with in Daniel chapter 6, it talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I want to prove to you that in those instances where Jesus was with those who said, look, who stood up for God and said, look, I'm going to serve God, and only him I will worship and serve. And I don't know where I read this, but there was a minister that translated. Well, he was talking about when Abraham was taking his son Isaac to sacrifice him. He trusted God and he believed God. And when God told him to sacrifice his son, he didn't think twice about it. He said, well, God said, do this. So, let's, you know, he didn't tell his son what was happening, but he took him, and he was getting ready to sacrifice his son. But there was a man who said, who believed that the angel that came and said, whoa, stop, don't hurt the boy. God was testing you to see if you were sold out to him, if you would trust him enough to sacrifice your own son. Now he knows. And there's one man, like I said, that said that he believes that angel that came and told Abraham to hold up was Jesus. That he had that revelation. He believes that was Jesus. That, you know, and it may tell that in the Bible. I don't know exactly where it is, so I didn't read that part of it. But I believe that very well that angel was possibly Jesus that said, look, hold up. You know, God knows that you love him and that you will do exactly what he asked you to do. But I want to share this, and we're going to be done, okay? As Shadrach, let me just give you a little bit of a backdrop on what happened here. In Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were appointed officials in Babylon. And everybody liked them. Everybody loved them. And I'm sure one of the reasons was that they served God. They trusted God, and they always worshiped God. But some of the other appointed Babylonian officials were jealous of them because they had favor with the people, because people really, really liked them. So they got jealous, and they went to King Nebuchadnezzar and said, look, King, why don't you create yourself a golden image? You know, these boys, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they believe in, you know, they're saying their God is the one that they're going to trust. I believe you can make them bow down to you. So the king said, all right. You know, so you need to be careful who you listen to. So he said, all right, yeah, we'll do that. So he created a graven image, and he said, look, everybody, when the music begins to play, everybody is going to bow down to my golden calf. You're going to worship him. And so let me throw this little sidebar in here. I'll just say it. Sometimes we watch Housewives of Atlanta. We do. And so the girls and on the Housewives of Atlanta, they were taking a girls trip. So they were somewhere, they was got on a bus where they could drive to this girls trip. And so they was loading up on the bus, and most of them got on the bus, everybody but Portia, who always runs late. So Candy, as everybody was getting on the bus, Portia was going through some things with her in her marriage or with her relationship or something. So Candy said, look, girls, Portia's going to be on here in a little bit. She said, don't be asking her about what's going on in her marriage. Don't be asking her about what they doing, what happened, and all of that. And come on, let's be respectful. So this lady named Marlo said, wait a minute, Candy, you mean we all on this bus, Portia getting on the bus, and we can't ask her what's going on? She said, oh, no, I ain't going to be able to do that. I ain't going to be able to do that. And we laughed about that. It was so funny. It's just the way she said, oh, no, I ain't going to be able to do that. You know, you know, I'm going to have to ask some questions. So back to the story, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. when King Nebuchadnezzar said, look, everybody gonna bow down to this golden calf. And I can see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego look at each other and say, oh no, we ain't gonna be able to do that. Oh no, we ain't gonna be able to do that. You can do whatever you want to us. You can do whatever you think you want to do to us, but our God will deliver us. He said, even if he don't deliver us, we're not bowed down to that. We serve one God only. So King said, okay, y'all big and bad enough to resist me. Come on, boys, get them. So the guys got them, and he's crunk up the heater 7 times, hotter than it normally is. And even the ones that threw them into the furnace were killed by the heat. And so King Nebuchadnezzar said, this will teach you. So he looked. He saw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walking around in there. And this is in the Old Testament, before Jesus was even born. He said, didn't we throw 3 of them in the furnace? Well, he said, I see a 4th one. And he said, and it looks like the Son of God. It looks like the Son of God. Now, when Jesus was here, and Jesus asked the disciples, who do you say that I am? Some of them said, you know, you're Elijah, you're this, that. And then Peter said, no. He said, you are the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. So when King Nebuchadnezzar saw the Son of God, Jesus had not been revealed as we know Jesus being born into the earth. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to him. God revealed that to him. He said, that's the Son of God. He said, oh my goodness, from now on, we're going to serve, we're going to worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He's the true and living God. We're doing away with this calf. We're going to serve and worship God. We're going to serve and worship him. Amen. In this case, you have to be careful who you listen to. But for King Nebuchadnezzar, it worked out for him this time. It worked out because all of Babylon from that point on worship our God. So the devil always think he can outsmart God. He think he can outmaneuver God, but he can't. He can't. Our God will always be worshipped. Our God will always have the upper hand. And when he sent his son Jesus into the world, he kept his promise to us. When Satan thought he had Jesus, and he thought, even when Jesus was here, he thought, oh, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to do away with him. He thought he was doing something, but he didn't know he was cutting his own throat. He didn't know he was cutting his own throat. But praise God, Jesus came and he restored us. He came and redeemed us. He came and healed us. And he went down, and when he died on the cross, he went down into hell and made a show of Satan publicly amongst all his imps, among all those who followed him. This is who you followed? Watch this. And I believe that Jesus beat him from one end of the place to the other. And he realized who was Lord and who was King of Kings and who was God. And praise God, hell was meant for Satan and all of his followers, and that's who it's going to be. But praise God, Jesus came and his death, burial, and resurrection was for us. Amen. And I believe that if you believe that, come on, stand on your feet and let's clap our hands that our Jesus, hallelujah, made a way for us. Hallelujah. He restored us and he healed us. Amen. And he didn't just come. He's always been. And from the